have a couple of quiz questions for everybody this morning. And I actually wish there were more of you here, because some of what I'm going to say I think you'll find encouraging and hopeful. And maybe we'll just make it a point to get tapes of this to the folks who've missed it. The first question is this: what's the largest object in the universe? Well, God's not an object. And he's not in the universe. He created the universe, so... No, not God. Natalie says, my ego. There's a future for you in stand-up comedy, Natalie. That's great. Ray says, the Milky Way. Anybody else? Largest object in the universe. There are galaxies bigger than the Milky Way. He just likes the candy. When Ray is really hungry, the largest object in the universe is a Milky Way candy bar, calling to him, Ray, Ray. Now, the largest object in the universe is a pimple on the end of my nose. When I look in the mirror just before I have to go somewhere. Is this true? Anybody else? This true? Anybody else? Right. Largest object in the universe. The reason I make that little joke is because I think it's often true for us as individuals and for resurrection as a congregation, that even when we are at our healthiest, we do an extraordinary amount of self-critique. And self-critique in general isn't a bad thing. It helps us sort of adjust, and especially if somebody helps us there, it can be a good thing. Now there's a very negative sort of self-critique, a self-condemning sort of thing, which isn't healthy at all. And there's a kind of condemning that we can do of each other which doesn't qualify as edification. It's a shaming and a cutting down of others, and there's no way in which we could say that that's intended for their benefit. So there's both self-critique that we do as individuals and self-critique that we do as a congregation, which is a part of a normal, healthy life. And there are also aspects of it which can get more and more negative. One of the things which I think is actually healthy about this congregation is its willingness to self-examine and to self-critique and make course adjustments as it has to. There are a number of initiatives that we have underway this year coming, small group or cohort initiatives, I think, which are really going to be useful for all of us, both as a congregation to grow and as individuals to grow. And I mean that both in terms of numbers for the congregation. I hope I don't grow numerically as an individual, but for us in small groups as well. And those are sort of course corrections that we make as we go along. But as I've thought about this, I've realized that it's very seldom that we look at ourselves as a congregation and say, good job. Isn't that true? Yeah? I know I look in the mirror in the morning and go, wow, good job. No, I'm kidding. Maybe a few of us do that every now and then. But as a congregation, we just don't do that. If anything, when we talk about ourselves as a congregation, what we do is look at those ways in which we could improve, or ways in which we've failed, ways in which we've downright fallen flat on our face. And it's pretty seldom that we actually sort of are encouraging of ourselves as a congregation. And so it's in that light that I want to begin to talk about the process of living out the gospel with others, and first to give you an outline of what it means to be discipled, and then talk a little bit about how this congregation fares. And there's a model which I thank Jim Novak for, which is tell, show, try, do. It's a good model, because the basic idea is, and whatever the subject is, it could be baseball or living out the gospel. The first thing that we do is tell it. We say, here's what it is. Here's what it's about. We could just stop there. And I think in some places, and at sometimes maybe that's what's happened. But then the next step has got to be show. And so if I've said it's really important for us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and I say that 1,000 times and never do it, then I'm stuck at tell. If I can move to show, and as an individual can show affection, love, caring, support for anyone else here as an individual, or if you can do that for others as individuals or groups of people, then we're into the show part. And in fact, the telling comes alive with the showing. And isn't this what Jesus did? I mean, he first told them the kingdom of God was at hand, and then he demonstrated that the kingdom of God was at hand by the way it broke into people's lives and healed them or changed them or reconciled them with God. So Jesus did the tell, and he did the show. And then he turned to those who had been with him learning, and he said, okay, now you try. He didn't just say, keep watching me do it. But he said, okay, now you try. And in fact, he even sent them out 2 by 2 to go out and try. And when they tried, with small exception, things happened. The kingdom of God broke in where they went and where they showed the love of God, where they told the gospel, they told the good news that God had come to earth to reconcile people to himself. And then they demonstrated the presence of the kingdom of God as they showed what that love of God and that reconciling love and the healing and loving power of God were present. So they went out and told, and they showed because they were actually trying. And when they first tried, you know that it was under the watchful eye of Jesus. And in fact, they came back and they said, we were amazed. Demons fled when we commanded them in your name. People were healed. But there were a couple of instances where it didn't work. What was that about? And Jesus said, well, some only come out by prayer. Or some only come out by prayer and fasting. Some only come out, if you would, with time for them to be soaked in the kingdom of God. So he opened it up a little bit, explained a little bit more. And then he moved them from try to do when he said, now my hour has come, and I'm going to be leaving you to go and be with the Father. And I want you to go in Jerusalem and wait for the Counselor, who I will ask the Father, and he will send. And when he comes on you with power, then you are to go and do. Beyond try, beyond give it a chance and I'll do a little help here and coaching and moving along, but go and do. And then Jesus laughed. Now, we say, and very truthfully in many ways, the second person of the Godhead is present. He said himself in Matthew 28, that I'll be with you always. But in another very real sense, he left them on their own to be his body, to be his hands and feet in the world, to be the place where they do, and where the kingdom of God breaks in, where they do. And they are in that doing to follow the same model that Jesus used. He told them, and then he showed them, and then he asked them to try, and then he left them, in a sense, on their own to do. Now, he never left them in the deepest sense, but what he meant was, when it's between you and John, or you and Jane, and there's a need there, meet the need. Orphan, widow, hungry, hurt, wounded, sick. Be there for them. Respond. Seeking God, be there for them. Desire and reconciliation, be there. And I'll be with you, but even if you don't sense that I'm there with you, do it anyway. Do it. And so the tell, show, try, do is an extraordinary four-word model of what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be a follower of Jesus and a follower of what Jesus did. And one of the reasons that we are going to be initiating small groups or cohorts in this church is so that we can have an opportunity in smaller gatherings to tell, show, try, and do. And we can be with each other as we learn how to do that. It's one thing all to gather in one room on a Sunday morning and worship and hear some telling, see some showing, and even trying and doing in a large congregation. It's another thing entirely to sort of allow ourselves to be discipled personally, individually, in a small group of people who know us really well and who love us and hold us accountable and coach and guide and encourage and so on. And that's the reason that we're looking for the love that we have in this church to be multiplied out in many places. Not just in this building at one time, but in many places at many times. With that as the context, here's my encouragement. Last Sunday, there was a man here, and I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to embarrass him or point it out. He's not here this Sunday. And this man is a very experienced pastor and a well-known leader in the Christian church worldwide. And he visited Resurrection last Sunday, along with a young man who had come to him saying that he was considering going into ministry, and what did he need to do to prepare. And so this man said, well, come with me, we're going to church over at Resurrection on Sunday morning, and we'll watch what happens there, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Interesting? So they were here not just to worship, although they were here to do that, but also to watch and then discuss for this young man who has asked for mentoring as he considers going into the ministry. And so this pastor and leader in the church called me about 3 days later on Wednesday, and he said, I want to tell you about Church of the Resurrection and Sunday morning. And here's what I want you to know. He said, first of all, your worship team is wonderful. The music that is produced by your band is extraordinary. They really know how to lead worship. Your congregation really knows how to worship. There is enthusiasm there and excitement and willingness and engagement that I have seen seldom in all of the churches that I've visited. And you have something very special there, and you need to know it. And I said, thank you. And he said, in fact, at the end of the service, during that final worship song, when I saw the children come to the front of the church and dance, he said, I have never seen anything like that. He said, that was wonderful. He said, that sort of is a picture of everything that goes on there, is that joy and that worship with the children. And he said, not only that, but there were grown men waving banners in celebration and in worship. And then there was this pause, and he said, are they assigned to do that? And I said, no, it was spontaneous. And he said, you have no idea how extraordinary that is and how rare it is. And he said, and I need to tell you this, the people there were so warm and so engaging and so inviting. He said, you could not get out of that building without being loved on. You just could not get out without someone loving you and inviting you to come again and to be there and to be a part of it. He said, I've been in a lot of churches where no one even spoke to me when I was there, much less made me feel like I was welcomed and loved and would be welcomed back. And then he said, and the prayers of the people that you did when you all gathered together around the cross and prayed, so I've never seen anything like that. And he said, and it was so open-hearted and welcomed and spontaneous, and everyone prayed. He said, it was wonderful. And he said, and then there was that man that gave that very unusual prophecy. He said, I've heard prophetic words before in my life, but not about salad dressing. And he said, but it was, he said it was a good word. And then he asked for interpretation. And he said, and people everywhere interpreted what he had said. In fact, even the young man that was with him offered one of those interpretations. And afterwards said, that was really cool. So I even said something myself. And this man said, and what was interesting about it was the interpretations actually differed. And nobody seemed to mind. He said, you realize how special that is? Yeah. That these people love each other so much that they can share how they understand a word that's been given. And even if it differs, there's no condemning going on. They just, no one seemed to mind. He said one thing which I'll share briefly about preaching, and I won't go into the detail of it, but he said to the young man before they got there, when people preach, because this man wanted to become a preacher, he said there are four things that you have to do in order to have preached properly. It doesn't matter what your style is. There are four items that you have to complete or you haven't really done your job. Let's listen as we hear the preaching, and then we'll discuss which of the points got met and which didn't. And he said, usually preachers get a couple. He said, you hit all four on that Sunday. And he said, he said, that was pretty cool, but it sort of ruined my point with the guy. Because it doesn't happen that way usually. And then he said this, he said, you have something very unique there. Something very unique. And it's something the church needs. So, for all of the self-criticism that we do, and we do plenty, and for all of this course adjustment that we do, and for all of the initiatives that we put in place to help ourselves grow, and to help us grow as individuals and as a congregation, I want you to know that the blessing that the Lord has placed upon this congregation does not go unnoticed. And the wonder that He has wrought here touches hearts. My prayer is that we hear that encouraging word, that we hold it in our hearts, and we let that seed grow. Not a source of personal odd pride, but that we boast in the Lord because of it. And we boast for the Lord because of it. And that it make us ever more willing to invite others to come and experience the blessing that God has given us. Amen. If you'll hold on just a minute, Ray and Cheryl. We've asked Nancy Andrews to take 3 to 5 minutes and share a little bit about the experience of living and working in a small group, a church small group. As we begin to think about this, and I've talked about it just a little bit in the course of this sermon, what I wanted to do was ask Nancy, and there will be a series of people that I'll ask to do this, and if you'd like to share something, please do talk to me. Nancy, if you would just take a minute and come up and share. Let me give you the microphone here.
Hi, thank you, George, for asking me to share this. I know that George's message for a long time has been for us to be in each other's lives. And it's been more than once that I've driven away from church with kind of tears stinging in my eyes because I had a sense of what that meant. And I'm a very kind of private person. And I thought, oh, do I have to get in everybody's lives? I mean, I'll come. I'll even, you know, give money. But do I really have to get involved with people? And then they offered a real, real practical way for us to do that by forming the small groups. And I chose to be in Jim and Chris Novak's group. And I don't know how long it's been going. Is it more than a year that it's been going? 2 years? A year and a half? Something like a year and a half, I think. And it's a relatively small group. There's like five or six of us at most. And we get together two times a month at the Novak's home. And Chris is an absolutely wonderful hostess, so it's a real delight to be there. But we're invited there, and we share what it's like to be a Christian in today's world, and we bring our challenges about being Christians together for prayer that we give to each other, and encouragement and sharing. We've listened to several CDs, and we've watched some videos, and we've read from some books, and we talk about our lives, and we pray for each other, and we know what's going on with each other. We have kind of a joke because we show up, it's every 2 weeks, but sometimes I get confused and I show up almost every week on their doorstep. So some weeks we have group, and other weeks they say, no, next week, Nancy. But it's a wonderful way for me to be able to connect and try and use my life out in the world and the challenges that I have in my family, my personal life, everything that I experience, and bring it into a Christian community and get support and affection and encouragement and caring. And I would really encourage anyone who has the opportunity to do that. I mean, I really know the people in the group, and I love knowing them, and I love letting them get to know me. And I would hope that you would all have that same kind of wonderful Christian experience.